I need to give Sherry this. And whoops, that's in the other half. Thank you. I was forgetting something this morning. Didn't realize how late it was getting this morning until Tammy goes, "Oh my, we're going to start late. Who's preaching?" I went, "Oh no." So I had to rip and get up here and get the stuff ready to go. But we're here. We made it. So I guess we're on time. First of all, I want everybody to remember today, this whole weekend, remember those who served your country and gave the ultimate sacrifice. Continue to remember our past, present, and our future military. Without them, we wouldn't have the freedom that we have today. Without them, we wouldn't be in this building, being able to talk. And I'm getting an echo. Echo, echo, echo. The sermon today is called "The God Who Is Bigger Than Our Storms." The passage we're reading on this morning is Luke 8, 22 through 26. Jesus calms the storm. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, and the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went out and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." In our text, we find the disciples find themselves in a terrible storm. Not many times do the storms catch us when we're expecting them. This is probably true for the disciples, as the storm came even when Jesus was with them in the ship. But in the story, Jesus reveals himself as the God who is bigger than our storms. And I think our view of God is very important, because how we view God will determine how we view ourselves. And this morning, I'm sure that all of us know that God is bigger than our storms. But if you're like me, you just sometimes need to be reminded. One thing is for sure in this story: the storm was not as big as Jesus and it was to the disciples. And even though the storm was above their head, it was still under his feet. In what way is God bigger than our storms? There are five principles in our text that will answer this. Number one, his intention is bigger than our storm. In verse 22, Jesus had a plan. And what was that plan? It was for him and his disciples to make it to the other side of the lake. That was God's plan. And if God says we're going to the other side of the lake, they're going to the other side of the lake. There's no question about it. In his mind, we as human beings have failed in our interventions, haven't we? Have you ever determined to help someone someday, but when it all said and done, you didn't help them at all? Have you ever set out to do a good deed, only to end up not doing it? We have all failed in our intentions, but God has never failed in his intentions. God's plan cannot be changed. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ." Now, we may never go through a literal storm on the Sea of Galilee, but we do go through various storms of life. Your storms may be when someone you love dearly dies unexpectedly and you don't understand it. It may be when your job is not going the way you think it should go. It could be when we feel betrayed by those you love and no one understands your heartache. Our storm can be when life has us so confused, we don't know where to turn or what to do. It may even be when Satan whispers in your ear, it's no use. It'll never work. You may as well give up. What can we do when heartache comes knocking on our door and we feel overcome by despair or bound by feelings of hopelessness? We start by realizing that God has a plan, and His plan is greater than our feelings, and His intention is bigger than any storm. I don't understand it all. I don't fully understand why some things happen, but I'm glad for one thing. I'm glad that I know that God has a plan for me, and that His plan for me is bigger than any storm I'll ever experience. Do you believe that? Number two, His interpretation is bigger than our storm. And that's in verse 23. Jesus is asleep in the storm and eventually has been asleep for a good while. How could Jesus sleep through a storm? The disciples literally thought they were dying. Obviously, the storm was not as big to Jesus as it was to the disciples. I wonder, do we sleep good when problems are consuming us? I know I don't. I roll and toss, and then Tia go, and she'll jab me and stop that. And I'm trying. The disciples interpreted the storm as something terrible. The fact is, they could not change their circumstances. There's absolutely nothing they could do about the storm. And that's hard to deal with sometimes. We as humans want to take control. We want to be in charge of our destiny. And we come to find out that it's useless. Do you ever wish you could change your circumstances? I do, but we can't. We may as well accept it that we need to realize that God doesn't see the storm the way we see the storm. His interpretation is bigger than the ways of our ways. His interpretation is not bigger than the storm. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God sees the storm as a means of advancement. He uses storms of life to test us and help us get closer to Him. God uses the dark, scary, uncertain times of life as an opportunity for Him to demonstrate His powers, not ours, and for God to get the glory and not us. God wants us to use our trials to get us closer to Him. I wonder, when our storm starts to devastate us, do we want to take God's interpretation of the storm? Or do we, as humans, want to just develop our own interpretation? When trouble comes down on us, do we carelessly say, like some, "God doesn't care," or he'd do something for me? But problems are sometimes just opportunities in our work clothes. He's testing our faith. We must not forget, faith is taking God at His word, despite the circumstances. And faith is often claiming God's promise in the midst of bad circumstances. Like the disciples, we may be in a terrible storm. We may be so scared that we're biting our nails off. But it's good to know that God's not biting His nails off, because His interpretation of the storm is different than ours. Number three, His inclination is bigger than our storms. Verses 23 and 24. When the Bible says the ship was filled with water, means it was losing control of the ship. And the water was controlling the ship rather than the boat controlling the boat. The storm was controlling the boat. The word jeopardy indicates that they were feared for death. They thought, it's over. But they did the right thing. They went to Jesus. And while they were literally going down, Jesus was rising up. Jesus got up, but not the way I would have gotten up. Have you ever awakened suddenly and unexpectedly, and you get up, you got to wipe the sand and sleepy out of your eyes, and then slowly try to come around? Well, Jesus just got up. He arose immediately. He sat up. He's ready for action. That's his nature. Immediately, Jesus set himself up. God is never in such a deep sleep that he doesn't hear our faintest whisper. Aren't you glad for that? Jesus 33:3 says, "Call me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you may not know." But God wants us to call on him. One amazing thing that doctors have verified is that a mother has often have a special ear for a baby's cry. Mothers can often distinguish their own baby's cry in a room full of crying babies. What in the world? Guys, we can't figure that out. I have no idea. For me, and most men, one's child cry is the same as another child's cry. If you've heard one, you've heard them all, but not to a mom. Why? Because God made her with a special ear for her baby. She is inclined to hear her baby only. But that pales in comparison with God's ear and cry for his children. Psalm 34:17 and 18 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted, and saves such as have contrite spirit. In your trouble, cry out to God. He's waiting for you." Although Jesus was sleeping, I think the disciples misunderstood the nature of his sleep. They eventually thought that he was sleeping meant that he was unaware of anything that was going on or the danger, or that he was unconcerned for their personal lives, or maybe he was unable to make a difference and that they all needed. But Jesus was no less God when he was asleep than he was awake. Jesus was no less God when he was laying down than when he was standing up. He rebuked the wind and the storm and produced calm. Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them in him out of all of them." No matter how dark our life may seem, we must believe the truth that his inclination is bigger than our storm. Number four, his intervention is bigger than our storm. Verse 25. These disciples have seen other miracles before, but notice what they said. "What manner of man is this?" The way he intervened was unreal. They were saying, "It's not human." And they were right. Let me ask you something. If God can control the wind and the waves, do you think he can control your storm? If God can alter the very laws of nature, I believe he can help me with any of my problems. There is no storm too big for God to handle. Even the wind recognizes his authority, and the storm was just a platform for him to do his work on. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose." I don't understand how he does it, but God can even use the junk in my life to bring glory to him. God desires to use everything that happens to us for the good and God's glory. He can do that in your life. Thank God that his intervention is bigger than our storms. Number five, his instruction is bigger than our storm. The disciples learned some things through the storm that they might not have learned any other way. They learned something about their faith in verse 25. When Jesus asked, "Where is your faith?" he asked a good question. I don't know where their faith was, but I do know it wasn't there. Their faith may have been in the size of the boat to withstand the storm. Their faith may have been in the ability to outrow the storm. Their faith may have been in the strength of their anchor. I don't know where their faith was, but I do know where it wasn't. It wasn't in Christ. They learned something about their faith from the storm, and we do too. When God sends a storm my way, I see how many different things I've been leaning on. What if Jesus asked us in the morning, "Where is your faith?" Some would have an answer. My Father is in my circumstances being just right. but they rarely are. Others would confess that their faith is in people responding just so, but they rarely do. Some people's faith is only in the pleasures that life can offer, but they're so short-lived. Many only have faith in their finances and the things money can buy, but they don't satisfy. They learn something about their future in verse 26. They did get to the other side. God wasn't through with them yet. He had something else from them, for them beyond the storm. And when the storms of life beat us down, we need to realize that there is life beyond the storm. God is not finished with us yet. Several years ago, there was an awful hurricane storms in Nicaragua, Honduras, and Puerto Rico. People have been described as an awful noise, storm-like, as uncontrolled monster that nearly made them deaf. On television, news reporters interviewed poor families in Honduras that were completely devastated by the storm. Some of their attitudes were both virtuous as well as convincing and convicting. One lady said, "Yes, it was awful. We lost everything and we'll have to start all over. But the good news is, it's brought our family back together. We are closer than ever. The community is banding together like we've never seen before." Do you know what they were saying? We benefited from the storm. Can God really do that? Do you believe He can do it? Can He do it today? I wrote that part of in there when I was preparing for this, but since then we've had another tragic in Oklahoma. More Oklahoma. You watch some of the inner stuff on the internet. It's nice to see family and friends banding together to be there to help their neighbor. They even had reported one school where they canceled high school. The high school students met at the school at 8 o'clock in the morning and made it their job to go around the entire town to try to help people. Unfortunately, it takes a tragedy sometimes for people to become citizens again, like we're supposed to be. And that's just one of the things. And even around here, we were very fortunate. We had, actually last Sunday night, we had two tornadoes that actually touched down close to Keith and Tina's place. T and I were on the way home from Rick and Marcy's place, and I'm on the phone, and a friend had called me, we're talking on the phone, and I got my two-way police radio in my truck, and Talisa never listens to my radio. She hates it. She goes, "Oh my gosh, what did they say?" I'm on the phone, I don't know. She said something about a tornado on the ground, and went, "What?" Then dispatch come on and gave Lanark Fire that they had tornado on the ground just west of Lanark, and then they had another one touched down by Argo Fay. They had a funnel cloud spotted over Chadwick and then moving over toward, that way. And as I looked up, I've been a trained spotter for 33 years now, as well as Bob and Eric, and we've all been doing, and it was so black we couldn't see. I could not see nothing but one huge black cloud. And that's all, and it kind of hits home when it's a little closer. It's one thing to be, reading about Honduras and all the other places they have, and then you're reading more, Oklahoma. Then it's closer to home. Hopefully we don't need something like that to happen here to bring our community back close again. And you see that in, like, even with September 11th, how all the nation all of a sudden wanted to be Americans, and they all flooded to church. Church attendance peaked for like about a week. Then it was getting less, then less, then less. Unfortunately, we put God on the back burner when everything starts going better. We need to continue looking to God for our strength every day, every minute of the day. And I almost forgot to mention, I was supposed to tell a special thank you for everyone. I got a friend of mine in Shannon who went through some major heart problems two weeks ago. I called Nancy. She put it on the prayer chain. A little over a week ago, she's on the table for 5.5 hours. They thought she had some part with her, the electrical part of her heart. Well, they found another problem besides that, and she called me last week all thrilled that everything came back fine. Her heart's back in normal rhythm. She said, "You make sure to tell your church thank you so much for those prayers." She says she could really feel it. So as part of our daily job as citizens and children of God, we need to continue praying for people that we know that are sick, that are traveling in trucks across our nation. We need to remember those who are doing God's will every day. Please remember to pray for the My Hope session that we're doing through the Billy Graham Association. That could be a major life-changing experience for many, many, many people. Not just in Freeport, but over across the whole entire nations. So my prayer for you today is to ask God for the help that you need. He already knows the situation and what's best for you. He knows what you are going through, and he may just be waiting for you to say, "God, help me." Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for all that you do for us. We thank you that you are the God of this church. We pray, Lord, that you continue to watch over, guide, and direct each one here. And Lord, you have here today who you want here. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you that you continue to watch over all of us, even though some of us are not home, some of us are traveling, some are doing their job away from home. Lord, I just pray that you touch their lives. Just pray, Lord, that you continue to watch over, guide, direct every part of our life. Lord, I just give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Before we do our last...